Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you can be listening to right here at youtube.com/... Steve and Larson available wherever fine podcasts are. My name is Shane McMahon today, and I'm congested as hell. Be sure to leave a review or a rating if you're listening to the show.
I'm congested too.
Yeah.
The weather's
been not surprising.
The weather's been all over the place.
I know.
Lately.
The weather's weird.
It's been warm, and then today it's stormy, so I don't know if, like, you know, when it gets warmer. I'm like in the low 70s, high 60s, stuff starting to bloom. There's pollen
man,
in the air, allergens.
Flame at everything up.
And then it gets cold and then it's warm again.
I have a humidifier in my room, but I don't know.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
You should do that.
It should make things better, but like I've just
not. Do you put anything in it, like some Vicks stuff?
No, I don't do that.
All right.
There's like humidity in there. I probably should.
You can do some, yeah. Something to loosen up those nasal passages.
We're also on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We got a bunch of, we have 72 friendos watching right now. Wow. Hey, everybody. Good to see you.
Hi.
Happy for you to be here. They're watching this podcast as a live stream because that's one of the rewards at the $5 mark. You also get, hopefully, like where I'm trying to make it a weekly episode of non-news.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it is and sometimes it's not. But it's a Patreon exclusive show. Non-news. It's a lot of fun at the $5 mark. At $20, you get like a whole friendo care package with some stickers. The fella, do we know who was in the front row with our faces?
No, but
last night? That was awesome.
That was incredible.
That was it's so weird. I tweeted this out, but it's so weird. I'll reiterate it here. One night I was just dinking around on my iPad with the Procreate app.
Yeah.
I do those little designs for the stickers. Next thing I know, my artwork is right there front row because of some amazing like friendo who, you know, wanted to show his support to Going In Raw.
Yes.
That's fantastic. That's lovely. I love you guys. You're fantastic.
Yeah, the friendoverse is the best.
Yeah, man. Anyways. So you can watch this live stream. A bunch of people are doing it right now. You can too. $5 a month.
It's all it takes.
It's like nothing, man.
Nothing.
Pennies a day. We're here to talk about Raw.
Oh, did you say Pro Wrestling Tees?
Oh, Pro Wrestling Tees. I uploaded the I Find It Funny shirt.
Good.
Once it's actually up, I'm going to debut it here on the show in like image form.
Cool.
Maybe I'll Photoshop a picture of me or you or Triple H or somebody. It's my Triple H homage shirt.
Yes.
But legally, it's not in violation of any of WWE's copyrights or trademarks.
Don't think so.
So we could totally profit off it.
Yeah, man.
It's awesome. It's kind of like the Baron Corbin lone slow wolf shirt.
Yeah.
Very excited about that. Anyways, we're on the road to WrestleMania. Last night, Bray Wyatt was on the road to the Hardy compound.
Well, he was more on to the road. He went past the road, past the gates of the Hardy compound, into Hardy compound.
Ultimate deletion. We finally got the thing that we've been looking forward to for so long. I loved it. I thought it was great. We'll talk about it because
it was
in fact the main event of the show, which I thought is where it deserved to be.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So very exciting, but
let's talk about Raw overall. I thought it was kind of like I don't know. It felt. Usually Raw, when it's going good, it flows.
Yeah.
This seemed a little herky-jerky. There was a lot of commercial breaks. Like it seemed like the first hour and a half, there was a commercial break in every match or segment.
Yeah.
It didn't flow very well.
I've been watching it in sort of a different way. When do you start watching it? What time do you start watching it?
I'll usually start about 8:30.
Oh,
so okay. I can have a half hour to fast forward through commercials.
So
and
I
stuff.
Started at about 9:15, maybe?
All right.
I don't know. So that gives me a bit more time to be able to fast forward. I didn't have to stop fast forwarding through commercials until I think the start of the third hour.
Okay.
I think I got to, I think was Braun the start of the third hour?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got about halfway through the second hour where I got all caught up. Then I only watched about 10:30, went to bed, watched the rest this morning.
Okay, yeah.
But even like the first hour, you know, it just seemed this first segment was kind of emblematic of the whole show.
That was
like
22 minutes long that thing lasted. That was way too long.
Where Brock would come, you know, after he came out, I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, but this is a metaphor I'm working on here.
Mm-hmm.
Came out, did something, stopped.
Mm-hmm.
said, no, nah, I'll do some more. Came back to the ring, did some more, stopped. I got some more in me.
Yeah, I know.
It
I
was
know.
Too herky-jerky.
Too much of that going on, yeah.
Without the necessary intensity behind any of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get started. So Kurt Angle comes out, says Roman Reigns is still suspended. He's not here.
Yeah.
But he says Brock is going to be here, though he's not here now. He's running late, something like that.
Right.
But then suddenly Roman is there.
Yeah.
He shows up unannounced right as Kurt's about to talk about his match at WrestleMania.
I think he came through the crowd.
Seemed like it.
And he had his work clothes on.
He did, so he's ready to do work.
Somebody in our chat mentioned, they're like, why didn't he just show up in, like, you know,
Zubaz? Yeah.
Like some Costco sweatpants, cut-off sweatpants.
Yeah.
That's my preference.
An old t-shirt,
yeah, like an old Shield t-shirt that's, yeah, like faded.
Some slides or flip-flops.
Yeah, no, some slides, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Like a snapback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something comfy,
exactly. And then like a little thing of popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
Like he enjoyed the
a travel mug.
He enjoyed the dark matches of the front at the beginning of the live show.
Yeah.
Travel mug, yeah. What do you have? Not that. Not
oh,
a jar.
Bubba. A Bubba.
A Bubba.
Or a travel mug with some coffee.
I don't know
coffee.
What happened to my Bubba. He had a hydro with him. Anyways. So he just shows up and he's got like that Roman look on his face. And he gets in there and Kurt Angle's like, you're still suspended, dude.
You're not supposed to be here. I can have you arrested. And
yeah.
Roman says, well, you keep on saying Brock's going to be here. First, he seemed doubtful that was going to happen.
Right.
Rightfully yeah. so.
Kurt Angle's like, I've been told that he's a little late.
And then Roman said, well, he wasn't here last week or the week before that.
Was it Kurt swerving Roman, given that it was obvious Brock wasn't late?
I don't know.
He was just chilling at Gorilla?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I mean,
I thought that too.
It'd be difficult to miss Brock Lesnar, you know, chilling at Gorilla.
Yeah, I know.
You know, you're Kurt Angle. But then Kurt Angle, sometimes he forgets a lot of stuff, so maybe mm-hmm. he just doesn't pay that close attention.
That could be.
Like during his little bit with Alexa backstage, he was like really searching. I'm like, dude, you got to do a little bit of preparation.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways.
Anyway, so Roman says, I'm not leaving my ring until I get a face-to-face with Brock.
I do appreciate that, because it is kind of effective for me anyways, whenever Roman refers to the ring or the building,
it's his yard,
or the WWE, he keeps it thematically consistent with the his yard thing,
mm-hmm.
and I like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, because if you're going to be the man, then it is yours.
Yeah, you have to.
So he's consistent.
You have to walk around like you are the man.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So Kurt says, all right, I wash my hands of this situation.
Kurt is not looking to do any more work than he has to,
yep.
and that Roman was just being work last night. He was just being extra. He was on one.
Yeah.
It was just too much, dude.
So Kurt leaves the ring.
He's like,
Roman has a seat. Out walks three U.S. Marshals.
Out walks three of Dallas' finest
developmental
jobbers.
Talents.
Yeah, developmental talents.
Who
exactly.
have vests with U.S. Marshals on the back.
Yeah.
So one guy comes out with looks to be a toy badge.
Yeah.
And then,
hey, I can appreciate.
And then a card with Miranda rights on it.
That was great.
That he was reading from.
Like, they, yeah, I got that from Law and Order. I can appreciate that they got three local talents who look like actual U.S. Like, they,
yeah,
could,
they
be
could be
marshals.
U.S. Marshals, I know.
They didn't get, like, you know, guys who look like they wouldn't fit.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's that fella in SoCal, Tyler Bateman, who has, like, the crazy eye and he's got, like, crazy mustache.
Yeah, he
wouldn't
be
look like a U.S.
Not
marshal.
A believable U.S.
He
marshal,
was, like, a security
though.
Guard, I think, one of the shows a little
yeah,
while
was,
ago.
Yeah, he was when they were in Southern California, yeah.
So they didn't get, like, some. Or the dude from NXT who has, like, the purple hair.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't get that guy to be some purple hair guy as U.S. Marshal. They got three fellas who look like U.S. Marshals.
They could believably be U.S. Marshals.
Or Brody King.
Yeah.
All sorts of tats and, like, crazy hair and stuff.
So they come out. Roman's getting read his rights.
They should have got, like, a luchador guy wearing his mask. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Anyway, so they read him his rights. Roman's like, all right, you don't have to do this. And then he willingly puts the... allows
or himself. Grim.
Grim.
Sorry, go ahead.
Roman allows himself to be handcuffed.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah,
yeah, I didn't like that either. But then when the guy touches his elbow, that's when he has a problem.
That's when he has a problem. And the guy tried to strong arm through the ropes.
I know.
The ropes.
And then Roman starts
that's
dropping
Roman
elbows
was, like,
on everybody.
Dropping elbows. I mean, it was fine. It was goofy.
Let me ask you this:
better than boring, though.
Yeah, we compared what they're trying to do with Roman with Stone Cold. Back
oh yeah,
day.
And the one of the most memorable images of Stone Cold is him getting carted off by the police. And my God, it really felt like he, when Stone Cold got arrested, it felt like he was legitimately getting arrested. He made them, like, tackle him
yeah.
and get him down to the ground.
Yeah.
And then he was like flexing the entire way. This was the most mellow, like passive resistance. Yeah,
did that, got cuffed.
Exactly.
And it was the marshal touching his elbow that set him off.
And you know, they wouldn't, you know, like, dude, I'm not even in law enforcement. I've just watched, and I'm not even like a big fan of like the cop genre movie TV show thing. You handcuff a guy behind his back.
Yeah.
You don't do it in the front for the exact reason for what happened.
Yep.
Come on, man. We've all seen shows. We know how it works.
Yep.
Anyways,
he lays out the marshals. Brock Lesnar comes out.
Yeah, and I do love, you have to appreciate Roman. He like looks and he's like, he makes sure everybody knows, oh crap, I'm still handcuffed.
Yeah.
That sucks.
He's in a bad way. So.
But good for him. Instead of like running, he grabbed a chair and tried to use it on Brock, who ducks it and then just starts. He took him to Suplex City. A nice looking shirt.
Yeah,
shirt. I don't like the street sign one. The exit.
Yeah, I didn't like that either.
I don't like that. Even though they had like different variations on it per city, I did like the one that looks like it's, you know, just spray painted or whatever. Mm-hmm. It looked cool.
Yeah, it was better. Anyways, I mean, like if you look at it on the surface, Lesnar put a pretty decent beating on Roman Reigns. The problem is, I didn't feel like there was any intensity behind it.
No, I see that.
Or urgency.
If it was like 5 minutes, I'll put it this way: if they accomplished everything they did, but took five less total minutes to do it, I think we would have gotten that sense of urgency because I feel like everybody needed to pick up the pace just a little bit.
Well, it's that, but I feel like this would have been way more effective in getting Roman over if Lesnar brutalized him.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel it was terribly brutal.
Let me ask you something.
There was,
though,
what, three suplexes, a couple chair shots, and an F5? Like, put him through the announce table or something, you know?
Yeah,
like, really
like,
work him over.
We're like 3 weeks away from Mania.
I understand.
I don't know if they want to really go that route. Like, that's the main event right there. I kind of noticed, too, Brock, even with those suplexes, he was trying not to hurt that guy. He was like, okay, here we go, very gentle.
Although I would say it's pretty impressive with that one time when Brock picked up Roman by the back of his pants.
Oh, I know.
And looked like he pretty much deadlifted him.
Oh, I know. It was great. Yeah. There was some, the dude, he's still a bear.
Yeah.
Evidently, update from yesterday. Cat Monkey does exist. In Wolfenstein, the video game.
Oh, okay.
There's a cat monkey.
Gotcha. Okay. Anyways,
it's not fused with man, though.
Well, maybe some other game will take that up. Anyways, I don't know. I feel like it would be more effective if there was more urgency and a bit more brutality on Brock's part. I mean, you have your opponent, Mania, handcuffed. I mean, like, really give it to him.
Yeah.
Especially at the end when Roman's on the stretcher. Pick up that stretcher and F5 the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Just don't push it over.
Yeah. That seems like, I don't know if he could... That's a lot.
Well, he F5'd a shark.
Yeah, he did.
Sharks are very heavy.
I'm trying to remember what that shark looked like. That looked like a real shark, too.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't think it was.
You don't know that. If it was a fake shark, it's probably still pretty heavy.
Why is it the day, like, I have a hard time laughing right now. The day that you're, like, in a mood to make me laugh, I can't laugh very much.
You shouldn't have said that.
No, shit. Well, that's
cool. Anyways. Lesnar F5 to Shark. He could have F5 Roman Reigns, at least on the backboard, you know?
No, I just want...
Something.
My thing is this. I'm fine with everything they did. Just do it faster.
Yeah, that too.
Just actually do what you're doing faster. Across the board. Kurt Angle talk faster. Roman Reigns talk faster. Roman Reigns looked like he was like a bit sleepy last night.
Yeah.
Maybe he was like, hey, I'm suspended. I don't have to do any shows. I'm just napping on my couch. Have you ever been suspended from school?
No.
Back in the day? Really?
Nope.
No. Neither have I.
I was a nerd. I never got suspended.
Yeah, me too. Kind of bums me out. I wish I had that experience.
What, you want to be more rebellious?
Yeah, a little bit. I wish I had a
tell your teachers to stick it.
Yeah, man. Wreck some teachers.
Hey, teacher, kick
hey,
rocks.
Hey, look, man. And then I've got like my comb, like 50s comb.
You got your pack of smokes.
Because I'm a tough.
In here. In the sleeve of your exactly. White t-shirt.
Yeah, because I'm a tough, man. I'm a street tough. Hey, man, I don't need your books and your golden rule.
Anyways, I get the idea of what the segment's supposed to do. I just felt like Brock should really put it to Roman a lot more. I understand they want to protect their main event of Mania.
Yeah.
Same time.
Yeah.
Put him through a table or something.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. Like, we don't know that AJ hasn't...
Let Reigns get busted open or something like that.
We don't know that AJ is
just
is gonna
visual,
make
that
would have
been great. Yeah.
They don't need to be losing Reigns as
no,
well.
No, I understand that.
Next up, Alexa Bliss comes out.
Well, hold on. We got to talk about Roman Reigns getting put in the ambulance. They made a point of including that visual.
Oh, they showed that pretty quick, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, next. Alexa Bliss came out, dropped a promo saying that she was not at all sorry about what happened last week.
She's good, man. She's like a freaking top five talker.
She's
so good.
She's a good talker.
Yeah. She came out with Mickey James, who looked like a street tough. See that? Mm-hmm. She looked a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Healed up with the street tough gear. So anyways, yeah, she says crowd's all booing her and stuff because she's like,
well, she acts like
I'm
she's
so sorry.
And apologize,
she's,
yeah.
Whoever's writing her actually does a pretty, they're consistent with this. Hell, she'll say one thing that makes it sound like it's a positive, and then she'll turn it. She's like, I'm so sorry. Sorry I didn't say this earlier. You know?
Yeah.
Like, they do that a lot with her, and yeah. I like it. It's consistent.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah, she delivers a heel promo saying that, you know, Nia Jax she said it was so easy to manipulate her. Then she reiterated or something like that. And then she said, tonight I'm going to beat Asuka. Which didn't happen. Asuka won by count out during their match. What did you think about this match? Yeah, I know. I didn't understand. So I didn't really understand. Like, she got counted out, whatever. That doesn't really do much for me. I thought Nia Jax should have had something to do with the finish of that
match. I know,
match.
Me too.
But then if she attacked, the problem is if she attacked
Alexa, and then Asuka would lose by DQ.
I would have technically broken the streak. I guess they couldn't have done that.
I guess so.
But so yeah, Alexa after a whatever match, although
it wasn't nearly as good as their prior match.
It wasn't. Here's the funny thing is though, Alexa's offense was not very crisp last night.
No,
but Asuka still sold the living crap out of all.
I know,
and that's awesome. Good for her.
I know.
And then they would do like camera angles that would totally hide it, like in the replays, if when Asuka, I think, gave her like a shining wizard or something, or like kneed her in the head while she was down on the ground, like they did it from behind Alexa Bliss, and it was obvious even from that angle that it didn't even come close.
I know.
So yeah, I've been on the sloppy side. Alexa got out. She escaped via count out. And then she was like equal parts happy and hurting. Like Asuka was really working over. She had her in an ankle lock for a while.
Yeah, yeah. Alexa rolled out and then after she made it to the ropes and then just accepted the count out loss.
But then she was like smiling because I guess she kept her title.
Yeah.
And then like not happy because she was hurting. Her leg was hurting.
Yes.
Out comes Nia Jax.
I don't think it was a title match. It was just a match.
Yeah, you're right. It wasn't a title match. No. So why would she have been happy?
I don't know.
Because there was one shot where she was like smiling evilish, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, why is she doing that? She just got humiliated.
Yeah, pretty much.
She took a loss. Like she didn't beat the streak. I don't know.
No. Anyways, Nia comes out, starts chasing after Alexa Bliss. Alexa escapes through the crowd. Nia lays out Mickey James.
Mm-hmm.
Gives chase again. They chase through the crowd, go backstage.
Yeah.
Next, Kurt Angle is backstage. Alexa Bliss enters the room. Alexa Bliss says that Nia needs to be suspended. No, arrested for what she did.
And evidently, she had lost Nia Jax at that point.
Yeah, Kurt Angle said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give Nia a match at Mania against you for the Raw Women's title.
Hey-o. Wah-wah.
So that's that. Yeah. Next, Braun Strowman comes out. Before he drops his promo, commentary says that Braun has to find himself a partner at Mania. I think they went about this wrong. Angle should have said, you need to have a partner. Braun says no. Angle assigns him a partner.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I feel like the dynamic would have been more interesting if that had been the case.
Yeah, okay. I can see that.
And that way, when Angle says your partner is Elias, Braun's like, I don't want a partner. I especially don't want this guy.
Yeah, right.
That would have made it more interesting.
Yeah.
Instead of Braun going out and going backstage and trying to recruit somebody to be his partner. I mean, in one sense, that should be a gimme in terms of being a tag team champion.
So, okay, when he was dropping this promo, at the very end he said something like, you guys aren't going to be so happy when you realize two things. Number one, I have a partner for Mania.
Oh, I have. Yeah, I'm going to have a partner for me.
Oh, I'm going to. Because it's like when I heard it, I was like, did he just say he has a partner?
No, I think
he hasn't been chosen yet.
Yeah. The idea was that the bar is just not facing Braun. It's going to be Braun plus.
Okay. All right. All right. So I'm in like Flynn.
And this was just right after he said he doesn't need a partner.
Want a partner, but he's going to get a partner.
Yeah,
because
anyways.
He asked her.
And then he said, yeah, I have a match against one of you tonight after the bar come out.
I like that Sheamus kind of swerved Cesaro.
Oh, yeah.
By yoinking out of the ring.
Yeah.
And leaving Cesaro on his own to face Braun Strowman.
Yes. So that was a match, Strowman versus Cesaro. Cesaro put up a decent amount of offense.
I wonder, rewind a second, though. Right. I wonder if we are going to get Braun trying to recruit somebody. That could be entertaining.
Yeah.
But how could anybody ever say no to Braun
Strowman? I know.
So I don't feel like that's necessarily going to be the route. Although if people just sort of run away, I don't know. I mean, look, whatever they give Braun to do, he's going to kill it.
How about this?
It's going to be good.
How about this? There's a line outside of Braun's locker room.
Because they all know it's guaranteed.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And he says, well, I'm not going to choose. You're all going to fight over it.
Yeah.
So they have a B Braun's partner battle royal or something like that. He's sitting on commentary, and then whoever wins is his partner.
Why would Elias enroll for that, though? It has to be Elias, for one thing. It has to be Elias.
It has to be Elias. That's why I felt it was a better option to have Angle assign him a partner.
Yeah, I know. I agree. Here's the exact way it should have gone down. You and Elias tore it up so much during your Symphony of Destruction match.
Same thing Foley did Sheamus and Cesaro. Yeah,
it would have worked perfect.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll find some way to do that. Maybe nobody will want to be his partner.
Maybe. Anyways, Braun beat Cesaro with a power slam. Decent match. Cesaro put in a good amount of offense. It wasn't a squash match. After that, our first glimpse for the night at the Hardy compound. You have the Hardy family around the family piano.
Queen Rebecca is jamming on the piano.
Yeah.
You had King Maxwell, Lord Wolfgang, and Senor Benjamin all just hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Hardy was very happy about all that.
Yes.
He's talking about the ultimate delay. Oh, and Vanguard 1 was there, I think, too.
Yes.
And
they told Senor Benjamin to prepare the battlefield for Annihilation.
Next up, we had the Revival versus Titus Worldwide.
Pretty short match.
Yeah, Revival picked up the win on Apollo with a Shatter Machine. Afterwards, they gave another great interview.
And they said they're going to be in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Yeah, well, they said specifically they're going to be the first tag team to ever win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. If there's two people left in the ring, somebody's got to win.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like,
One of them have to say, all right, I'll just step out.
Yeah. Or they're just going to say, yell at people to hit their music, and they're going to grab the trophy together.
Well, I don't think they're going to win, so it's kind of moot
point. I don't think they're going to win either. But I think their chances just got higher, given that they said they're going to win.
Yeah.
So they might be one of the final participants.
Yeah, probably.
Somebody might eliminate both of them. So good for them, though. I mean, they get the mic.
They get some camera time, yes.
I firmly believe that WWE is just waiting out to see if they're injury prone.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll get their push after Mania.
Yeah. Next, an awesome Mark Henry
Hall of Fame
video package.
This was fantastic. All sorts of great testimonials, and it showed Mark Henry, who at the age of like 7 in that family picture looked exactly like he still does. You know, some people's like their faces change as they get older. His face has not changed at all. He looks like the exact same person, except massive now, you know. But no, it was fantastic. It just got me like, you know. And then I watched again his retirement speech.
Oh, that's so good.
With Cena.
That's great. So good.
Salmon jacket.
That's so good.
Hope he wears that salmon jacket.
I hope so.
Next up, we had the continuation of Bayley and Sasha Banks saga, their road to being best friends again.
Or not.
I actually really like this.
Yeah, I thought it was well done.
I thought it was well done because it was the smallest of motivations, but it was a very heartfelt one.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why Bayley has a problem with Sasha Banks, and Sasha Banks is like, dude,
it's every woman for themselves. Yeah,
she says, "Every woman for yourself, for themselves." You know, I'm out here to talk to you, woman to woman, and get this settled. And Bayley's like, "Look, dude. Number one, we won. I helped you win the match last week, and then I left. The week before that, she said, you know, I didn't. I what did she say? I don't know. It was the sixth person with Asuka.
Yeah,
she was like."
We won that match. Yeah.
We won that match, too. She said, I just hated how you did at Elimination Chamber. Essentially, you shouldn't take joy in screwing over your best friend.
Yes.
And you did.
Yeah.
She said, that was messed up.
Yeah.
Like, I get that you're trying to get your own. That's totally fine.
She talked about the smile.
But you had a smirk on your face.
On Sasha's face, yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah.
But I loved that was just a moment that gutted her.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're best friends. And it could be... And that's the kind of thing that it could be with Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax.
I know.
As opposed to the mean girl fat shaming stuff. And
yeah.
I think that's one thing that a lot of people have a problem with. And I kind of agree.
Yeah.
Like, it could be more subtle. It could be more complex. Could be more emotional.
It could carry more weight because of it.
Carry more weight.
Yes, exactly. So, anyways.
And this is the shot that had our good friendo had our faces up. So, yeah. Again, that was awesome.
Yeah. And so before they really got a chance to proceed to maybe patch anything up, Absolution's music hit. Page dropped a promo.
Yeah.
And said, all right, Sonya and Mandy Rose, get out there and beat them up.
Yeah, it's like, you know, hate to interrupt your little, you know, gal pal talk here, but this is going to happen now.
And happened it did. And there was a couple of unanticipated and unwelcome tags between Sasha and Bayley.
Right.
In fact, at one point, Sasha tags herself in, Bayley goes for a cover, and Sasha pulls Bayley off.
Yeah.
And they go at it a little bit, and they argue a little bit.
Passive-aggressive tag team.
Yes, and then Bayley later on did the same thing. And after that tag from Bayley, she was, like, super aggressive.
Yeah, I know.
And commentary made a point of saying, rightfully so, it was a good point to make, that Bayley was taking out her problems with Sasha on Absolution.
I know, it was good.
It was really good. It was really good. In the end, Sonya Deville pushes Bayley into Sasha, knocks Sasha off the apron, follows it up with a kick, and pins Bayley for the win.
So they have a problem with Absolution. I still think this is going to be a tag match, right? At Mania, I mean, to get on the same page.
We just saw the tag match to get on the same page.
Right. It's going to be the tag match where they work as a tandem, as friends.
I don't know.
Really? Where else have you seen this going?
Well, it'd be Sasha versus Bayley.
You think that's going to be the thing?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. Look, as much as I've said this a million times already, as much as I would love for that to be the case, the story is them trying to be best friends again. That's their story.
Yeah, I know. But it's going to either that's going to happen or it's going to, you know, they're going to not be friends anymore.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that because it'd get us a great match. I'll put it this way. It would get us a much better match than what we're going to get.
Yeah,
but that's not gonna. I think we're gonna get the tag match. That's my feeling. We've got two episodes of Raw left.
Yeah,
and I think that's the story. Them trying to get on the same page to beat a common foe, which is Absolution at this point. Although, I mean, I guess Absolution can be in the Women's Mania Rumble, but I feel like they also want to kind of. I love Sonya Deville. I think she's great. I love that from the second she steps out. I mean, Mandy Rose's thing is kind of like to be blasé or whatever, but Sonya Deville comes out, and man, she's itching
intense.
For a fight.
I know.
She's itching for a fight. I love it.
I know.
I think it's great.
I like how Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose are developing some decent tag team.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
That Irish whip into the knee they did. Mandy Rose's knee looks great.
Yeah. No, it does. Man. It does.
Looks like she actually knees someone in the face.
Yeah. So as much as I'd like to see Sasha Bayley, I think we're going to get Sasha and Bayley against Absolution. But this, you know, winning. Next up, we had another great John Cena promo. And it was great because of when Kane's music hit. So John Cena, he says, essentially, he takes about 10 minutes getting there, 7 minutes getting there. Last week, of course, I challenged The Undertaker. And you know what his response was? Nothing. So he needs to get over his own insecurity. He's projecting a lot, I think. Or he's assuming a lot. He's assuming that Mark isn't just sitting at home enjoying his time off.
Yeah.
And, you know, John Cena, because he's the center of the universe, he should be getting some sort of response.
Yeah, it's very narcissistic.
Would say so. Undertaker, you don't have to answer to you.
He doesn't know John Cena anything.
How do you know he's even watching Raw?
Yeah.
For all he know, he's a Luddite now.
He might not even have a TV in the house.
Maybe not. Like,
nor
Michelle,
a cell phone.
Michelle has the Instagram account. He doesn't even have an Instagram account.
Yeah.
So how do you know he's got his streaming TV stuff? So anyways, he makes an assumption that Mark Calloway is supposed to answer him. He gets upset that he doesn't.
And since he doesn't, that must mean that Mark Calloway is, in fact,
a coward. So the Undertaker is a coward. And not only, and then he tries to bring the people into it. Not only is it disrespectful to me, it's disrespectful to every single one of you. Because without you, there is no Undertaker. And I'm like, Cena.
Did you not watch WrestleMania last year? He retired.
He retired, man.
That was him saying goodbye.
He, like, the character Undertaker, like, sunk down into the ground. It's probably not that easy to, like, you know, that was a one-way ticket. That wasn't a round trip.
But then he showed up at Raw 25.
Oh, that's right. Was that really Undertaker, though? I feel like that was maybe the guy that was dressed up as Undertaker. I feel like it was just a better version of him.
I don't know. It looked a lot like real Undertaker.
I'll have to go back and look at the tape to double check.
Recap or review.
It wasn't
yes.
Brian Lee?
No.
Fake Undertaker?
No, he didn't have the mask on.
The mask on?
No.
All right. Anyways, then Kane comes out, and John Cena gives the most cartoonish reaction.
I know. He goes, Kane's out here. He must be here to give me an answer.
The Undertaker's brother, Kane, he must be here to give me an answer. And then all Kane does is chokeslam the living crap out of Cena. It was great.
End of segment. I guess they're having a match next week.
That would make sense.
Next, Matt Hardy.
Are we going to get Undertaker's response on the go-home?
I kind of hope that we don't get anything from him till Mania.
I hope that. I hope that Cena shows
Cena's
up as a
hanging
fan.
Out ringside.
Yeah.
And then they go up and interview him and say, well, Undertaker never answered my challenge, so I'm just sitting here as a fan. Bong.
Yeah. He's got his blockers shirt on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Matt Hardy next on the compound talking to George Washington.
George Washington is his giraffe.
A giraffe.
And then he appreciates the wisdom that George Washington gives him. And so in return, he gives him a carrot. Oh, you love carrots like I love green beans. Anyways, next up we had, this was fun, The Miz and The Miztourage.
Versus Balor Club.
Versus Balor Club.
Real. They're starting to brand Balor Club as a unified force. Still
know,
need to
man.
Their
they
entrance,
need the entrance
needs to be together. They actually need to do stuff together.
I know.
On
I
a
agree.
Regular basis.
And hey, I'll throw this out too. If Balor's gonna be blue, the club should be blue too.
Yeah.
If he's gonna be Burgundy Balor, the club should be Burgundy Balor as well.
Yeah.
Now in December when it's Christmas time, it'd be fun if they were Burgundy Balor and he was Green Balor.
Or vice versa,
because it's for the Christmas.
Yes.
And then he can get the real rock and roll jacket on with the LEDs, but in Christmas lights.
There you go.
See, I've got it all planned. Miz dropped a promo where he complained about not being on any advertising for WrestleMania.
Well, the magazine specifically, yes.
Yeah.
He thought it showed a lack of respect.
That's a good point.
Yep.
Seth Rollins came out. I love they had a nice close-up on Finn Balor looking, not with a smile on his face when he saw Seth come out. He was like, wait a second, I'm usually the guy to come out after you to spoil your party.
And now you're doing it to
now
me.
Now you're doing that to me.
But then Seth is clear to say, I'm not going to come down there. I'm going to the commentary table. I'm going to talk.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fight now. Talk now.
Yeah, I'm talking now.
Talking now. So anyways, that led to the match. Decent enough match. Finn pinned Miz after a roll-up, after he shoved Miz into Curtis Axel.
Right.
And then there's a huge brawl between Balor Club and Miz and the Miztourage. Miztourage more or less lays out the club.
Oh, yeah. We forgot to mention that people in chat mentioned this. The Miz referred to Finn Balor's time in Japan as being Prince Nevitt.
Yeah, he brought up Tyler Black, which, of course, Seth Rollins' name in the indies.
Uh-huh.
And then, yes.
Prince Nevitt. It's Devitt.
Yeah.
Real rock. Watch some New Japan, Miz. Anyways.
So there's a brawl. Miztourage gets the upper hand. Seth runs down to make the save.
Yeah.
Gives Miz a stomp.
And then they both stand over. They both stare at each other, either lovingly or with competition in their eyes. I couldn't really tell.
Mm-hmm.
They stood over the prone body of Miz, the laid out body of Miz. So
next week we're going to get Seth and Finn teaming up, I'm guessing.
Yeah, sounds probably right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
God damn, my nose. You need to blow your nose.
I want to really bad.
You have no tissues in here, do you?
Yeah, and then who wants to do that on the air?
Yeah.
So
good point.
I'm just going to power through, man.
Power through, man. Anyways, next we take a trip to the Lake of Reincarnation.
Yes.
With Matt Hardy. He's talking to Skarsgård.
His dilapidated boat.
So we're getting a little bit of everything.
These are all really fun.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. In recalling the build to Final Deletion, remember the contract signing? There are a lot more segments at the Hardy compound.
I know.
And I feel like this probably could have benefited from that as well.
Several weeks of build.
Yeah.
At the Hardy compound, yes.
Yeah, itself. But I am hoping that now that the floodgates, if you will, are open on the Hardy
we'll
compound.
We'll see more, yes.
We'll see more.
We might talk about that more this weekend, in fact.
On count out, perhaps.
Yes.
Then we got a really well done Ronda
this was really
Rousey,
good.
Kurt Angle video package.
I thought Rousey's mic work on this was outstanding.
Well, it was just her talking. It was just her being keeping it real, man.
But she was in character.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Well, she's just her. Well, give me an example.
Well, I mean, of course she's going to be somewhat in character. I mean, her character is just her from USC.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So in that sense, it's her, but, it's her turned up a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
She went through her history a little bit and said, all the work she put in prior to fighting in UFC just led her to living in her car.
Yeah.
And then she said she can go out and talk shit and break people's arms.
Yeah.
Might as well do it.
And she said...
So she could feed her dog. That's how she put it.
Oh, yeah. That was cute. And she said, people, they don't often like a confident woman, she said, because otherwise they just brand you a B. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought that was effective.
That was great. Yeah.
I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle. I think Karen brought up the fact that on Twitter, brought up the fact that Kurt Angle was acting more fatherly to her than
anytime to Jason Jordan. Yeah. I saw that too.
He just seemed endlessly annoyed by.
I know.
But that was good. No, and it was a really well produced video mm-hmm. package. Mm-hmm.
But I guess in terms of getting a sense of what Rousey's character is going to be.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, no, it was great.
This went really mm-hmm. far into kind of establishing that.
If what you're talking about is the fact that she wasn't like sort of sheepishly going, "Oh, I'm so happy to be here," which is probably what she's really feeling. You know, we got to see the chip on her shoulder, which is what she kind of needs to have. No, I agree with you completely. And in fact, before we talk about the Ultimate Deletion, apparently the Ultimate Deletion was not shown in arena. Which is weird.
Yeah, that's weird. Instead, they had...
And then apparently our friend Mikey Omega, who runs our Facebook group, said that it's not even on Hulu. It's on WWE's website, but man, come on, it's your main event. You're not on Hulu? I don't know why Hulu does the 90-minute thing. It's kind of bunk these days. There's so much kind of need-to-know stuff on Raw. Like, for being a three-hour show, there's not a ton of filler these days. Like, there has been in the past. But the Final Deletion definitely was not filler.
No.
And I feel like Hulu should have the option to expand their show a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know what contract negotiations they have
or
whatever.
I don't know.
Oh, but while the Ultimate Deletion was being shown at home, there were two dark segments just for the arena. And they're one of them, the Ronda Rousey bit. She comes down to the ring. She says some stuff. Dana Brooke interrupts her, says, you know, I see four sides to that ring, not eight. So that means you're out of your element. And then she tried to hit her. Ronda blocked her, and then Ronda threw her over her shoulder. It was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then apparently there's another bit that they got to see where Braun Strowman interrupted an Elias performance, and then Kane comes down and Braun wrecks Kane.
Ah,
maybe they'll run that next week, and that'll be the justification for Elias wanting to team up with Braun.
Could be.
I don't know.
Anyways, I don't know.
Ultimate Deletion.
Let's talk about it. So it starts with Bray walking to the gates of the Hardy compound. He enters.
Uh-huh.
He is met by Vanguard One,
mm-hmm.
Who projects a hologram of Matt Hardy, saying, "Welcome to the Hardy compound."
I like how the
follow the music.
The production value is a little bit better than it was, but not much better.
Yeah, they retain the inherent cheesiness of Enterprise.
Yeah.
But yeah, the production value is a bit better.
Mm-hmm.
So Bray walks towards the ring set up on the Hardy compound with the ref.
Yeah.
The match begins.
Bray starts to get the better of Matt Hardy, and then Matt Hardy, out of desperation, calls for Vanguard One to fire off the boomstick protocol.
Yeah.
And that is the fireworks that go off, and that scares the crap out of Bray Wyatt.
I'm happy they included fireworks. I wish they were actually shot by somebody at another person.
I know.
A la Final Deletion.
I mean, look, here's the thing. I do hope that this is the first of... I hope that this isn't the last we see of the Hardy compound. I want to see much more of this.
Agreed.
There's so much more they can do.
Yes.
But, yeah, that would have been good.
From there, they move on to the dilapidated city, which Matt Hardy says, "Bray, does this look familiar?" And it reminds Bray of the Wyatt compound.
And we get to see it burn down. Like, you know, no shots of Orton burning it down.
No, but we get to, you know, see shots of that. Some happier days for Bray at the Wyatt compound. And he's dealing with kind of the emotions of all that. Matt takes advantage.
With a kendo stick.
Yes.
Yeah.
From there, we move on to the land of obsolete men.
So it was a bunch of sort of like the Jeff Hardy logo thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they both kind of use it. But
Hardy Boys logo.
It was like a cemetery.
Yeah.
And they were a bunch of like really tall gravestone marks,
mm-hmm.
kind of.
Mm-hmm. And then Matt was kind of playing mind games on Bray, hiding behind him, and then when Bray would come, he would disappear.
I didn't see any of the, I couldn't make out any of the names.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Of the obsolete men, but they did have names at the bottom of each of the ones, and none of them stood out to me as, like, obvious.
Yeah.
I'm sure there might be somebody out there who caught on.
Oh, that'd be interesting. But to catch those little details.
But this was fun because, like...
It turned into a Benny Hill thing.
Yes.
Because they ramped up the camera, so everybody's running kind of fast.
And they did a thing where... It was all like Bray. So Matt was hiding behind a bunch of these while Bray was trying to find him. And they not only did they ramp it up, they did the double exposure like eight times over. So there was like a ton of Bray Wyatts just running wild in the one shot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was great. I thought it was
fun. But sped up a bit, and then he was just missing yakety sacks.
Right, yeah.
From there, he moved to the Dome of Deletion.
Deletion.
Which, of course, was featured prominently in Total Nonstop Deletion.
Uh-huh, right.
It's where, in fact, Rockstar Spud wrestled King Maxwell.
That's right,
Itchweed wrestled. Who did Itchweed wrestle?
Oh, I forget.
I remember. But also, Lashley versus Eddie Edwards took place.
That's right.
Partially in the Dome of Deletion.
That's right. Storied history there.
So they wrestle. There's piano involved, the ladder. Matt has Bray down. He looks at a wheelchair, chair of wheels.
A chair of wheels.
The opposite side of him.
A mower of lawns.
Yes, the riding mower that was seen in Final Deletion, the lead up to it. In the end, he decides to hop on the riding mower, tries to run over Bray with it. Bray does his pop-up thing.
Yeah.
And that's enough to stop Matt Hardy from trying to run him over.
He freaks out at that. Yeah.
Bray gets the upper hand, and he carries Matt to the Lake of Reincarnation.
Uh-huh, that's right.
Once there, Matt comes to, gets the advantage, thanks to Vanguard 1. Bray sees Skarsgård turned over, lifts Skarsgård off the ground underneath his Senior Benjamin.
Holding a mini globe.
And he throws that at Bray. Bray catches it.
Uh-huh,
and then he has the whole world in his hands.
Yeah, and Senior Benjamin sings that. And then Itchweed, Brother Nero, Jeff Hardy, pops into frame next to Bray Wyatt, as you can see in the thumbnail of this video.
Yeah.
And he reiterates, you've got the whole world in your hand. And that distraction right there allows Matt to hit
Twist of Fate.
Twist of Fate, thank you.
On Bray. And then he hits him with a shovel, I think, or the kendo stick, into the Lake of Reincarnation.
Yep.
He asks Senior Benjamin to fish Bray's body from the water.
And he's nowhere to be found.
It is not there. And Matt declares deletion and says the Great War is over.
There has to be a sequel at Mania, right?
I would think so.
There has to be a sequel at Mania. What is Bray Wyatt going to be reincarnated as?
I don't know, but I think this gives them a good opportunity to hit the reset button on Bray. And maybe make him, you know, really relevant again.
Yeah. I'd like that, but...
Being optimistic.
That is you being optimistic, because I look, man, I want another 6 months of him just doing... It makes all the sense in the world to go back to the Wyatt compound.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen the Wyatt compound. They had a great bit with the New Day there.
Yeah.
It makes all the sense in the world
to
do that, to turn the tables.
Yeah.
That's what it has to be. And if it ends up making Bray Wyatt relevant, great.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, I don't really care. He hasn't been relevant and whatever.
No. I know.
I mean, yeah, it'd be awesome. But I don't know. I liked it. I thought it was fantastic. I mean, look, man.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
A couple of good laughs.
You're not gonna beat the original just because when you have a brand new canvas to work on and you go all out, it's just hard to top that.
I know.
You know? So, but no, it was awesome. We got to see, look, man, the bottom line is we got to see a deletion match at the Hardy compound on WWE TV with Bray Wyatt, which is what we've wanted this entire time.
I know.
So, and Bray Wyatt, and it ended with mystery. Bray Wyatt in the Lake of Reincarnation, gone missing. Where will he show up next? I want to know. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Tons of fun.
Yeah, lots of fun.
I enjoyed it a lot. It was a good, enjoyable cap to kind of an uneven episode of Raw.
Yeah.
It was kind of necessary.
Yeah.
I want to answer some questions. Do you have any more thoughts on Raw?
No, I thought it was good.
All right. Danjamin. Power Rank Gimmicks Bray is going to come back as... Does the powering button work?
Oh, it does. It works. Well, you know, obviously, it could be Husky Harris.
Woken Bray.
Well, I would love for it to... This is my thing. I want it to be something new.
Yes.
Like, Awoken Bray would be great.
Yes.
And they could be a tag team or something.
Yes.
Or a faction with Brother Nero.
Yes.
That'd be great. What if he came out resembling original Bray Wyatt? Not Husky Harris. But original Bray Wyatt.
Shorter beard.
The fedora thing.
Hawaiian shirts,
yeah.
More like Waylon Mercy.
Yeah. Maybe something like that. Although I'd rather them go forward than backwards. I don't know. You know, it could be Sister Abigail, perhaps.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I want them to go back to the Wyatt compound.
Yeah.
I think it'd be great.
I think that would be great. The real Rich Hardesty. Where is Green Balor in the Balor Power Ranks?
I don't know. Too many goddamn battles,
we can't really
man.
Make that determination until he has a match on TV.
We need
some wins and losses.
We need a sample size of all these Balors, we need somebody to do some real, you know, some real analytics. Can we hire Cambridge Analytica?
I'm not hiring them.
No?
No.
They need to mine all that Balor info.
Mm-mm.
No?
No, not interested.
I don't understand any of that. Are they bad? Did they do bad thing?
Maybe.
Maybe they did bad thing. There was a guy with, like, pink hair who was the whistleblower. And then he got suspended by his Facebook account got suspended for being whistleblower. Apparently. And I'm like, is that such a bad... I'm literally thinking about deleting my Facebook account.
Yeah, same here.
Like, literally the only reason I'm not is because there's that friendo group.
Yeah.
That, like, I like to keep, you know, an eye on.
Yeah.
Not an eye on. I'm not spying on them. This is, there's some funny memes on there.
Yeah.
People put some funny Steven Larson memes on there. It cracks me up.
Nemo, the Universal Kidney Punching Champion. Does Cesaro have the worst shoulder injury ever, or is the tape now just part of his gear?
Yeah, gotta think it's just part of his thing now, right?
Yeah, why don't people just work it over then? That's a target.
Yeah.
That should be like your sole target if you're wrestling Cesaro. Work over that arm.
Well, kayfabe, maybe he let it known backstage that it's fine. It's just he likes it.
It's preventative measures. The Rock tape.
Sure, yeah.
All right. CM Punk finds it insulting in kayfabe. Why did Roman Reigns show up in his ring gear instead of in street clothes?
Because you never know what's going to happen.
Yep.
And he, you know what?
He was there ready to work.
Yeah. It's him showing his initiative. He's saying, you know what? I might have been suspended, but I'm still here to work.
Yes. That could be. Maybe he, well, also, I think he was anticipating some action if he were to have a face-to-face with Brock. And if so, he wanted to be prepared with ring gear.
Should have had his vest on then.
I know. Jonathan Reiner, power rank new opponents for Matt Hardy to fight in the Hardy compound. Wait till this Saturday.
We're going to do that this Saturday. The diddly doodler. Each passing week, I grow wary that the way they are booking the Brock versus Roman match is only going to end up creating another Goldberg versus Lesnar Mania 20 situation. What are your thoughts?
Well, Reigns isn't leaving, so the problem with 20 is that they were both out the door.
They were both out the door, and so they the match didn't matter.
And by that point, that match happened, like, mentally, they were both well out the door.
And Brock was getting, I thought, Brock was getting some good heel heat last night. I felt the crowd was booing him, right?
Yeah, there's a little bit of that.
I thought there was that.
Yeah.
So I think it's starting to be mission accomplished. No, I think the best thing, honestly, the best route for the WWE to go at this point is to announce that negotiations have broken down.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Not announce it. Leak it.
Yes.
Misinformation. Steven Larson at gmail.com. Right, give us the disinfo.
Either broken down or say WWE has ceased. Brock has ceased negotiations.
Right, exactly. So, like, you know, the nerds know and they all start booing. And then the people who don't know will start booing because everybody else is booing. By the way, screw everybody who was chanting what last night during the Bayley Sasha segment.
Yeah.
That pissed me off.
Yeah.
God, are you serious with that crap still?
I know.
It's been since 2001.
I know.
Stop doing it.
Especially a really well done.
I thought it was a really, really well done moment between the two of them. And you're standing there in front of 10,000 people. Give them the respect as performers. Don't. Oh, it's so frustrating.
I know. It is frustrating. Foxy the Foxy Fox. Hey there, friendos. After the great main event, it's quite some time being the ultimate deletion. What's next for Bray Wyatt? Is now the time to reunite the family? Thanks, guys. Have a phenomenal day. No, I don't see a reason to reunite the Wyatt families. Make him Woken Bray.
Yeah.
Join up with Matt. Get Brother Nero in there.
I think that'd be a good next step. I'm not opposed to... I wouldn't want him to reunite the family because then you're talking about just regressing Harper and Rowan and Braun is just amazing. I wouldn't mind him going out and recruiting a new Wyatt family.
Yes.
I would prefer him linking up with Brother Nero and Woken Matt.
And see what storyline potential there is there.
I think you could mine a lot out of that. But after, you know, more matches at various locations. Let's see here. Regular Trevor. A lot of people are talking about this. And so I think that's why I got upvoted. Since Roman committed a felony last night in attacking federal officers doing their job... that he was resisting his arrest.
Yes, and he was assaulting officers, too.
And since he will be in prison for a number of years, who will Brock now face at Mania? How are they not going to press charges on Roman for last night?
Yeah, I know.
How is he going to get out of that one? Are they going to address that? Is old McMahon going to come out and say, well, I don't know. I talked to some friends in the administration, and they decided not to print. That's totally possible now that I think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it is.
I talked to Linda, and she talked to the orange guy.
Tommy T, hey, for knows, I really have to ask. I have been noticing a lot lately why you guys are so hypocritical in the favor of the click.
Oh, no.
You guys always talk down on Bret Hart for not wanting to drop the title to Sean, even though Sean always refused to lose or drop any titles unless they were his friends. up until The Undertaker threatened to beat him up, and you guys talked down everyone else using politics to stay on top. And when Triple H beats Booker after being obviously racist or tries as hard as saying The Rock isn't good enough to main event, but you guys seem to overlook it. We never overlooked the Triple H Booker thing.
We literally agreed. So that was a Match Chat question we had. Who's the worst? What was the worst burial?
And it was Triple H burying Booker T in that program. Booker T should have won that match.
Yeah. We've been like super vociferous about that one.
Yes.
And to the fact that the person who asked the Match Chat question had asked one of us to take the side of Cena burying the Nexus.
And there's no argument to be made.
Yeah.
We've talked about Triple H lobbying to be the main event of WrestleMania.
We talked about that too.
15 and how ridiculous that is. We've talked about that.
We've said Shawn Michaels was a prick back then. Everybody says that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. We like to make fun of Bret Hart. I'm sorry if you like Bret Hart. That's great for you, Tommy T. We love you too. But come on, man. Like, if we've
criticized Hogan tons for the politics he paged backstage.
Oh yeah, big time.
Tons.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we talk about a lot now where it seems like times now are different, and I think it's to the benefit of the product where the politics apparently aren't as prominent.
Feels like
it feels like everybody's working for the common good of the company,
Yeah.
And I think that's I don't know if Vince really appreciates that. He's on Stone Cold's podcast telling no one's really grabbing for that brass ring at the same time. You know, I guess maybe he enjoys that level of competitiveness backstage.
Yeah.
But sometimes that can just breed a lot of problems, especially if you have someone with a lot of stroke who just flexes that muscle too much to the detriment of everybody else.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the health of the company is definitely related to the health of the locker room.
Yeah.
And if attitudes are good backstage and people feel like they have a chance to succeed, that's going to go a long ways in terms of improving their work.
Yeah.
I mean, look at WCW when Hogan was flexing creative control over the place. I mean, everybody, when they walked out of the ring, looked like it was the last place they wanted to be. And that's not good.
Except for Hogan.
Yeah, except for Hogan. He was having a ball.
Yeah, but no, I don't know. We've talked our fair share of crap about it. I think the only person we haven't really talked crap about is Scott Hall. But, like, we've talked crap about Kevin Nash. Like, I'm thinking of the Click specifically.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, we've talked crap about Kevin Nash.
I just think because you have the Bret Hart impersonation.
Because he just comes off, you know.
He takes things a little too seriously.
He's always come off as if I was a kid watching wrestling back in the day, I might have seen the Bret Hart appeal. But looking back on it now, I don't know. I just kind of don't. I feel like even in his own clique, he had people who were way more interesting than him. Brian Pillman, Owen, maybe Bulldog to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. I felt like he kind of took things too seriously.
Yeah, he did take things way too seriously.
You watched that documentary. You know, the wrestling with
Shadows.
And he's like, yeah, you know, Vince wants me to, you know, drop the title in Montreal, you know, don't want to do that. Why not, dude? Come on, just freaking do it. Help the guy out. He's getting killed by WCW right now. Anyways, let's see here.
Whoa!
What?
Everybody's saying that Daniel Bryan is medically cleared.
Whoa!
Courtesy of our chat.
Shut up! Oh, it better not be. You guys better not be ribbing us.
I know. I see here that Cass has been cleared.
Breaking: Daniel Bryan has been medically cleared to return to in-ring action.
Yes!
Oh my God, that's huge.
That is massive.
Oh my God.
We'll be seeing him in Mania.
Whoa. Oh man.
Wow.
This is from WWE.com. Following more than 2 years of extensive evaluations, four-time world champion Daniel Bryan has been medically cleared to return to in-ring competition. Should we, like, wrap up this podcast and do a daily really quick? That's probably the way to go here.
Yeah, probably.
You know why? Money. And then our patrons can watch, too.
Okay.
All right, cool.
How are you on time for this episode, though?
Oh, let's see here.
We still have to do pay-per-view, too.
1 hour. We're like 5 minutes away from being an hour.
All right. Let's answer one more question, then we'll do pay-per-view real quick.
Okay.
Get the full episode in. Man, that's massive.
Oh, here we go. You know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do another Tommy T question.
There you go.
Because I appreciate honesty.
Oh, I do. I do too.
But I feel like we were super, like, there was, and you obviously didn't see it, but, you know, that Match Chat question, we were both like, no, dude. That shouldn't That should not have gone down that way. Booker T should have come out of
feud. Absolutely.
When you start bringing racist villain into it, racist villain should not go over.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were pretty vociferous about
Booker
that.
Booker T should have won that match.
Let's see here. Tommy T. Hey, friendos. I know the Friendo Hall of Fame isn't for a while, and usually you guys pick the nominees, but would I be able to recommend Manami Toyota? I truly believe she's on a different level of in-ring talent than almost all wrestlers, male or female. She retired semi-recently, so I wanted to know if you both could check out her work.
Yeah, I've been meaning to check out some of her work.
I have absolutely been meaning to that. There's a couple Japanese women wrestlers, like a few of them, that I've been meaning to check out their work and get on that.
Same
so,
here.
So, yes, that is a possibility, Tommy T. Thank you for the question.
Yes.
All right, let's rip to this pay-per-view.
Yeah, I'm going to do WrestleMania 11.
I'm going to do... Let's see if you remember WrestleMania 29.
Man, you got cleared.
What's that?
You got cleared.
That's crazy.
I didn't think that would happen.
Crazy. I had faith. All right, are you ready?
How many matches do you have? I'm getting there. I have 7.
Oh, okay. I have 9, so take out the first 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll go first. The Allied Powers, Lex Luger and British Bulldog versus the Blue Brothers.
Who are the Blue Brothers?
Jacob and Eli Blue.
They didn't win that match.
So you're picking Allied Powers?
Yeah.
Correct.
I've never even heard of it. Singles match. Ryback, Mark Henry. Who won?
Oh, Mark Henry won that.
Very good.
Next, Jeff Jarrett, the Intercontinental Champion, versus Razor Ramon.
I'll say the bad guy picked it up.
Yes, by DQ.
Nice.
J-E, double F.
J-E.
J, double R.
Double R.
E, e double T.
Double T, R, A, double M.
Ain't I great.
Ain't I great. Tag team match for the WWE Tag Team Championships. Team Hell No, comprised of Daniel Bryan and Kane versus Big E and Dolph Ziggler.
Team Hell No won.
Very good.
Next, King Kong Bundy versus The Undertaker.
The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Singles match. Chris Jericho versus Fandango.
Fandango.
Very good.
I might get all these right.
Yeah, you're probably going to get
these
right.
The Smoking Guns versus Owen Hart and Yokozuna for the WWF Tag Team Championships.
Who came in as champion?
Smoking Guns.
Okay, Owen Hart and Yokozuna.
Yep.
Okay. Singles match for the World Heavyweight Championship. Jack Thwagger versus the champion, Alberto Del Rio.
Alberto.
Very good.
Bob Backlund versus Bret Hart in an I Quit match.
That was when Backlund won, right? Backlund.
No.
No?
That was at Survivor Series.
Oh.
Bret Hart
won
that
one. What the heck?
Bret Hart won.
See again, Bret Hart's sticking it to me. Singles match. Undertaker versus CM Punk.
Undertaker.
Very good.
Shawn Michaels versus WWF champion Diesel.
You know, I should really know this. Diesel.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, who did Diesel end up losing it to?
Brett.
Was it Brett?
He lost it to Brett at one point.
Okay. Because he only held the title once for a year.
Yeah.
Okay. No holds barred match. Triple H with Shawn Michaels versus Brock Lesnar.
Triple H won that one.
Yeah.
The main event. Lawrence Taylor versus Bam Bam Bigelow.
Oh, LT won that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
I have one more, right?
Oh, yeah. Singles match with WWE Championship. Cena versus The Rock.
This is 29?
Yes.
So Cena.
Very good. You win.
I win.
You know, I did pretty good considering that
you
have an easy one.
You did.
All right, let's wrap the show.
All right, we're going to do a quick daily about Daniel Bryan right now.
This is very exciting.
This is some huge news.
This is huge.
Massive news.
Wow. Anyways, Hilton, get some music. Come on, man. Get your shit together, Hilton. There's some music via Hilton. Thank you, Hilton.
Thank
Sorry,
you, Hilton.
Sorry he yelled at you. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Stop recording, buddy. Everybody can hear me talk right now.